Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
He joins us each and every fortnight. It's been another big week at the Hawthorn Football Club. Positively, though, they won by 116 points in an impressive performance over the Eagles. Sam Mitchell is his name. Mitch, thanks for joining us again.
Yes, thanks for having me on again, boys.
Oh, you have a win. Everything's good. You can enjoy it. I heard you speak after the game. You want to let the boys enjoy that. And then the bombshell happens at Richmond on Monday, and then your CEO resigns. So short-lived, I guess. You had time to sit back and enjoy what you achieved on field on the weekend.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes we've been to, I heard you talking about the job that it is, and sometimes it's like, okay, this will be a quiet week. And then there's always something bobbing up in this football world, isn't there?
So how does it affect you with Justin Reeves standing down, and what is your thoughts on that? Was it a shock to you or not?
I mean, it was a shocker. It happened so quickly, and I guess from a personal point of view, he still stays a part of the Hawthorn family. His son still plays. I'm talking to Ned about it. We've been sort of in list management and all those things over the journey with Justin, and he never says anything about Ned. And then as soon as it happened, he was texting myself and Rob McCartney, the footy manager, and he's giving us tips on him, and he said, I'm just a parent now, so I can say all these things. So he still seems in good spirits, and now I just hope he's well and healthy and all those things, but it does show the stress that's in this game.
An enjoyable job, Mitch. We've been arguing in here whether it's an enjoyable job, a challenging job, a punish. Give me your assessment. I mean, you're only, I don't know what, you're 35 odd games of footy into your coaching tenure, so you're in the early stages, the honeymoon phase, if you like. Your assessment of the job?
Well, I mean, personally, at this stage, as you mentioned, very early on in the job, and I love it. I worked for 10 years trying to prepare myself for this type of thing, so I love the job, and but recognise there are a lot of stresses that come with it, a lot of things that that jump on your plate pretty quickly. And I mean, I think when we look back, the AFL has done such a brilliant job from 2020 to now. You know, if you have a look at how well the game has been able to hold up, and there's been some people that have had to pay for that with their jobs themselves or with the payments that they were getting and all those types of things. But I think the AFL has done a great job, but it's a bit of a wake-up call, I think, around the stresses. We've had two of our most experienced coaches step down because of the stress of the job. And I think, getting the soft cap, which is, it's sort of 72% of what it was in 2019 last year, whereas the players are up around 107, which is great, and the AFL execs around 110. So all their salaries have gone up, and I just think it's time to catch everyone else up now that the game is back in a good spot.
So do you think that the soft cap played a role with these coaches vacating?
Yes, absolutely. I think I had a good chat this week with Rob McCartney about what we would actually do, because there's talk about money in the cap, but what would we actually do with an increase in the soft cap? And it would really be around an increase in your workforce to try and take some workload off some of your current people. And I think we see the head coaches because they're public figures, but that doesn't count the assistant coaches and analysts and administrators that are all going through the same level of competition and the same fight for being better than the next team. And I think every aspect of your club goes through the same thing, and it is a challenging industry to be in, but it's so rewarding. I mean, when you get wins like we did on the weekend and you watch the players perform at their best, it is a fantastic industry to be in, and we want to make sure we can keep the best people in it.
Do you suspect that it will be increased in line with what you want? And I mean, if there was an extra million, Sam, like, have you thought about and had discussions strategically how you would use, just pluck $1 million, how you would spend that money?
Well, my job as the coach is not to do the financial side of it, so I'd work really hard with Rob McCartney with a bit of a wish list, but certainly a couple of extra staff in key areas to try and take the workloads off. You know, we're already talking now about how we can work, you know, whether it's an RDO process or a way to give people a bit of a break from the rigors of the job. I think in season, there's a couple of things that can be done because you just get into this process where you perform, you review, then you preview again, and then you're back to performance, and it goes around so quickly that getting a day off or a morning off can be quite difficult. So we just need to, I mean, far from me to, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there that would be saying, this is a fantastic job, you guys are kidding yourselves, and it is a fantastic job. So we need to make sure that we appreciate what we have, but and by the same token, I think if we can, you know, add a couple of people, add some welfare support around us, then I think that will support everyone in the industry.
Josh Weedle was the NAB Rising Star for the week. How rewarding, Sam, because he's a kid that's only played four games of footy, and I know he was a high draft pick last year. You want to see them hitting the ground running. He had nearly 30 touches. I did your game on the weekend. He played very, very well and delivered upon the promise of what was a very good pre-season.
Yeah, he's an exciting kid. I remember watching him in the before the draft and thinking, gee, we had an early pick, and then I didn't think he'd be gettable for us because of where I thought, you know, he would fall, and we were able to trade up to get him, and you know, I was really, you know, very excited. I thought he'd be out of reach for us, so I was rapt to be able to get him in the draft, and you know, he's got a physical profile that's pretty special for a guy his size to be able to move the way he does, and I think the reward for effort for him, he's been, you know, toiling away and working hard. He didn't start the season, you know, in the team or even close to the team, to be fair. But his consistent performance and a couple of role changes for him has meant that he's found a spot. And we know with these young guys, when there's a bit of confidence behind them and when they play with a bit of flair and bring the things that we drafted them for, then they can be pretty special players. Far from complete, of course, but we were pretty excited by what we saw from him on the weekend.
Pick one is probably off the agenda for you now with the percentage and the way that your side is performing pretty admirably. What would you look at trading, say, if it was pick three? Have you thought about doing that?
It's a bit early for me to be looking at that. That's sort of, we'll leave that with the recruiting guys. But, I mean, I'm not all over the draft the way people perhaps think, this far out anyway. So I know that there's been a lot of talk about, you know, the Harley Reid Cup and all those types of things. And I've seen him play a couple of times, and he certainly looks like a fantastic talent. And I'm sure there'll be people coming for the number one pick the same way that they did last year. I think it's probably set a little bit of a precedent last year with DWS trading up to get that number one pick. So I'm sure there's going to be some suitors for whoever ends up there.
What do you need? What is your list need? I mean, I know there's a key areas. We've probably asked you this question before, and you'll probably say key position players at both ends and another explosive midfielder. Is that accurate? But if you could only pick one, what's the biggest need for your list right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, I mean, a key forward would be, you know, I think when you look at the best, I mean, the best teams in the competition, they've got dominant forward forces, whether they're midfield forwards or key forwards. I think Mitch Lewis has been a fantastic... he's made great progress in his last 2 years in particular. And I think when you look at those guys, I mean, he's going to get the best defender every week now. And that's a great challenge for him. And he'll win some of those battles and he'll lose some of those battles. But the second key forward, you know, we've had Jacob Kaczynski and Fergus Green and these types of guys playing those roles, and probably a little bit of support for that area of the ground would be important for us.
You've got a big challenge this week with St Kilda. Can you just, for the outside fan, just watching the game of the weekend, are there a couple of things that St Kilda do that really pull you apart, Sam, that we can identify easily?
Yeah, I mean, Ross is very, very good coach, isn't he? And he sort of changed their game style so quickly, and we had our Oppo scouting yesterday, and he said, oh, that's their DNA. And I said, well, it's hard to call it DNA when they've only been doing it for such a short period, but he really does have them playing well-drilled style of football and been really hard to score against across the course of the year. And, you know, I think they're 7-3, so they play for some pretty good football. I don't think anyone picked them to be quite as good as that pre-season, so... you know, he's got them moving pretty well. They've got a couple of really key players that can cause you a lot of trouble. One of them obviously being Hilly, who I played a lot of footy with, so despite knowing a lot of what he does, it doesn't mean you're able to stop it.
So do you tag a Jack Sinclair, given what we've recognised during the week with him probably being in the top four to five players in the competition right now?
Yeah, he's a player that I had my eye on probably 5 years ago. I thought he was just going to be fantastic, and he's really, you know, become such a confident and key player for them. I think he really is a guy that sets them up. We did tag him last year, so we've gone back and had a bit of a look at that game about how it worked. And I think the thing with Ross is even if you're able to get it done, he's not going to be a guy that relies on individual players. So we'll certainly know where Sinclair's playing and what he's doing during this game and whether it's a full shutdown or something that we're able to just put him in a bit of a cooler for periods of the game. We'll still have to monitor that later today and tomorrow.
I just have to ask you one on this before we let you go. You're good friends with Adam Simpson. You've played a bit of footy over there in the West Coast. You're part of the coaching panel there during the successful period. Have you reached out? What would be your advice for Simo at the moment going through a pretty tough time?
Well, because we played them on the weekend, we sort of sent some text messages after the game, but we sort of leave it a week or two before you normally chat to the opposition coaches. So I'll be chatting with him, and you know, I think it's unbelievable there. I saw a stat that their injury list has more games on it than our whole list has all healthy. So, you know, I think it's been such, and so many of those injuries, I mean, I don't know if anyone else watched that 15-minute period where they lost five or six players all at once, and you know, most of those injuries were impact. So I think a little bit of it is out of their control. And, you know, he's in a tough spot now with the list profile that he has and what he's doing with the injury list. But I think they get a couple of guys back this week. So no one wants to see them as decimated as they are right now.
Talk to me about Jack Scrimshaw. You need players in his age bracket. 24, I think he is, has hardly missed a game for the last two seasons. Top 10 in your best and fairest last season. And every time I watch him play, I think, gee, there's something about this with his ball use and his big body. He's not in your team. He's not an emergency. I know he's had an interrupted preparation, Mitch, but what's the latest with him?
Well, I think with Jack, he got drafted as an early pick against Gold Coast. We traded for him and were wrapped to get him. And I've had this conversation with him and his other coaches, and he's a fantastic talent, and he's got through a lot of his career on his talent, and now the work rate required to take his game to another level is required, and he's just got some things that he needs to work on, and he understands that he needs to work on, you know, what it is. And I think the performance of some of our, you know, whether it's a guy like Sam Frost, who is not everyone's favourite, but I think he's the teammate's favourite and he's the coach's favourite because he's so reliable and he gets the job done. And the emergence of Seamus Mitchell and Josh Weddle has meant that the back half is a difficult spot to get a game. And because he's been interrupted and he hasn't been in great form, unfortunately, he's got to a point for himself that means he has fallen out of our best side. But I still think if everyone on our list is playing to their maximum and playing at their best, then he's a walk-up star.
Got a text come through from Brock, and I was going to ask you about this young man anyway. Tyler Brockman just has... He has gears and he has tools that most players don't have. He's so exciting, Sam. What are you seeing that makes you think he can go to the promised land?
Oh, I mean, I think so much about Brocky is just playing on instinct and playing on flair, and he always wants to do the right thing. He comes to the bench and he rings upstairs and he says, "Oh, how many pressure racks have I had?" And you know, when you watch him play, you wouldn't think that's what's motivating him, but he's just a really beautiful young man. You know, he's got the twins, and he's always, you know, thinking about them and working with them. And you know, I think he's just been a player who's needed a bit of continuity. He played a lot of footy in his first year, missed all of last season, injured, and now he's got a bit of confidence and he's playing with a little bit of flair. And you know, whether he gets, you know, 8 touches or 15, he's just going to have a game impact. And he's a guy, I know playing against and coaching against players like him, you can shut them down for 3 quarters, but it doesn't mean they're not going to have a significant influence. And I think he's a great teammate, he's a great player to coach. So man, we love having him and we're excited by what his ceiling might be.
Terrific insight, Mitch. Good luck tomorrow.
Go well.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
The Saints take on the Hawks at Marvel Stadium, 1:45 tomorrow. No changes for Hawthorn. Mitch Owens comes out with that nasty concussion for the Saints. His replacement has yet to be announced. That will be done 40-odd minutes before the game. Sam Mitchell, our guest. It's time now for the news update.